SoulSisterEnterprise.com.
Thank you for joining us today on Soul Sister Enterprise and 4 Radio. Due to technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, we're starting our show late today. So here is a rerun for you due to technical difficulties, but we hope that you will enjoy the show.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. It is October, and it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So please know, on Soul Sister Enterprise, you will be hearing some PSAs. If you are triggered, please know that is not the intention, but you will get a telephone number at the end in case you need to make that telephone call. This is the reason why we're here, elevating and empowering voices that have made it through. So enjoy the show.
Soul Sister Radio.
I'm not allowed to spend any money.
If I wear makeup, he says I look like a whore.
He's made it clear my family isn't welcome.
I used to have friends, but we never even go out anymore.
But at least he's never hit me, right?
Psychological abuse is the root of all abusive relationships, whether there are bruises or not. If you feel helpless and like your voice has been taken, there is help.
Call 1-800-799-SAFE or go to thehotline.org.
Let your voice be heard.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sister Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sister Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my soul sister.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning. Welcome to Healing Through Prayer, and I'm your host, Corrine Walson. Today's topic is ask. And when you think about the word or term ask, I'd like you to also keep in mind that it's not only a verbal question, but it can be seen as an internal inquiry or looking into or being open to something new from within on a mental level. Just being open to something differently, seeking. Now, if you've been with me on the show for a while, you know that what seems to be the reality about us, our daily lives, is really nothing more than a type of illusion or dream state that's reflecting back to us our core beliefs, and that our 5 physical senses are the tools that we use that to navigate, and they feed us the information. We also know that what is real and actual is the spiritual, which is unseen. It's the divine mind or God and its ideas, and that how we navigate through what's true and real is with our spiritual sense. Spiritual sense is the only communicator in the experience of what is real. Spiritual sense is that still, small voice. Sometimes it's an intuition, angel messages, thought impressions that come to us suddenly, or perhaps in a dream at night, messages from songs or books or friends. Spiritual sense is a language that you and I were created with. It's how we communicate, but we have forgotten this as we've been plunged into the illusion with form and language, the hustle and bustle, everything that takes away our attention from who we are and from developing the spiritual sense that's innately ours. Because we can't see, feel, or touch the real and the illusion seems so substantial and real to us, this ego of ours argues that it's too hard to make this transition to from the unreal to the real. So why try? Maybe it's okay for others, but certainly not for me. Or I don't know enough. I don't have the time. I can't, etc. It would appear that there's this huge valley between us and where we are and where reality is, and that we don't have this ability to access the real from where we're at. Recall that in reality, we are in fact one with our Creator, God, not separate. So the argument of this separation is just more part of this illusion. Jesus already proved our atonement with God. So how do we learn and understand what is truth when our human senses can't access it? Well, I'm here to bring you some good news because Jesus came as our great exemplar and showed us already the way. He was also very aware that after he ascended, we were going to be needing some help. And he left us with a very real, present, always helpful, and always responsive aid, the Holy Ghost and Comforter. At John 14:12, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto the Lord, "How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So this Comforter Jesus describes as, quote, Spirit of truth, that the world cannot see with its eyes, ears, and it doesn't recognize or know, resides in you. And this Comforter will continue to reside in you as you follow the commandments and love the Lord. This Comforter or Holy Ghost is our personal teacher and will cause us to recall Jesus' teachings and will guide us. This is an awesome gift he left us. All we need to do is love the Lord, strive to keep his commandments, to do good, be merciful, just, and pure. And as we do this, this Comforter is alive in us 24/7, 365 days a year. You cannot be separated from this because it is from the Father and lives in you. I was thinking about this ever-present help, and I wondered why I wasn't drawing upon it more. And I went back to the scripture and took a look at how to invoke this help in my life. Jesus tells his disciples twice to ask, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We need to ask the Comforter for this assistance. The Spirit of truth will not impose itself upon us, but will faithfully respond to what we ask of it, as long as the Father will be glorified by the asking. And that's a big condition. It makes sense, doesn't it? We must ask for righteous things or righteous government, not for hardships on our enemies or material wealth or status. Recall the Bible story at 2 Chronicles verse 7. That night God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied to God, "You showed faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future." Wow. So from this, we can conclude that as we seek righteousness, seek answers to our humble petitions for knowledge and for truth, that these will not only be answered, but that we will be blessed by our asking. It is when we ask for worldly possessions or for things that do not pertain to the kingdom of heaven that we shut ourselves off from the Holy Spirit's help. At James 4, it says, "What starts wars and fights among you? Is it not because you want many things and are fighting to have them? You want something you do not have, so you kill. You want something but cannot get it, so you fight for it. You do not get these things because you do not ask for them. Or, if you do ask, you do not receive because your reasons for asking are wrong. You want these things only to please yourselves. You are as wives and husbands who are not faithful in marriage and do sex sins. Do you not know that to love the sinful things of the world and to be a friend to them is to be against God? Yes, I say it again, if you are a friend of the world, you are against God. Do you think the holy writings mean nothing when they said, 'The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to live in us, has a strong desire for us to be faithful to him'? So it is important to consider your true motives before asking." This is all very specific instruction for our benefit. As we love our God and seek to do good, he dwells within us. We can call on the Spirit inside of us at any time for help, knowledge, safety, or any other righteous request. If you ask with a humble heart and pure motive, he will answer, and you know, will be blessed for the asking. How awesome is this? So if this is the truth, why are we not using it more? We are still looking outside of ourselves for answers. We look to one another, to all sorts of outside books, people. Trusting outside sources is going to lead you down a rabbit hole based upon guess, speculation, and conjecture by those who may or may not have your best interests at heart. We must start with God in all our ways. This means seeking him for our answers. Why don't we do this? Well, I for one have not asked for years because I felt unworthy to ask. The serpent has worked on me since a very young age, instilling false beliefs of not being enough, not being smart enough, beautiful enough, capable enough. So these false beliefs take root, create a stronghold, and breed more lies, one of them being, "Who do you think you are to call on God?" or "Why would God listen or care about you?" I actually entertained these thoughts for the longest time. If life has been uncaring, abusive, or vicious, you may not have any faith or trust in a God who would care enough to listen to your requests and then actually answer or deliver on them. The world is unsafe, uncaring, and we're victims without help or defense, right? That is all a bunch of lies. Never, ever, ever listen to what the world tells you, because it has a vested interest in keeping you in the dark about your true identity and nature. The more awake you are, the more threatened is the ego or illusion. Always start with God, the Bible as your source of truth. Listen to these instructions. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. We must focus on God first and God only. Do what is pleasing to him. Keep the commandments, even when it seems hard to do. When you're confused, you don't have to lean on your own understanding. Just keep acknowledging him. Keep doing good, and you will be guided, guarded, and blessed. This is why Jesus gave us those difficult commandments, you know, to love your enemies, to do good to them that hurt you, and to pray for them that despitefully use you. He taught us to keep God first and foremost in our thoughts, knowing that as we do this, the Divine Comforter will rescue us. It guides our steps and brings us into all truth. This Spirit of Truth will come to us in the moments we most need to hear from him. We're reminded of relevant scripture, or someone or something intervenes on our behalf. Some form of adjustment in our human experience occurs, saving us and delivering us from error or evil. This is all the result as we align our thoughts with God and this Spirit of Truth that resides in us. All forms of error disappear, and we draw nearer to God and the understanding that we're not mere suffering mortals, but his blessed and spiritual children. We stand with God in the face of darkness, bearing light upon the dark, and the darkness flees. This light of truth is in us. It lives in us. It is ours to lean upon, and it's unfailing. The truth never becomes untrue. It is eternal and is ours for the taking. All we need to do is to get our thought into alignment with this eternal and internal truth the way Jesus taught us. Now the ego says, I don't know how. I can't. I've tried and I've failed. Jesus promised us that as we ask in his name or call on God, that we will have our petitions answered. If we're fearful and filled with darkness and want to be led to the light of truth and we ask for this help, God will help us at once. At Matthew 7:7, we read, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. If you feel that you are lost, or you need help, or you want to see the real through the unreal, ask. These are righteous petitions for help, and they will be answered. If you have a right desire, but you don't think you have the strength, you can call on this Divine Comforter that resides within you to bring you into all truth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We read at Isaiah 40:29, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If the ego continues to argue that you don't know enough or tries to compare you to someone else who seems to know more than you, you can defeat those lies with the truth that God alone is mind and that you are mind's idea. At Proverbs 4:6, we read, Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. 2 Corinthians 3:5 reminds us that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And that's Matthew 10:19. And here's one of my favorite quotes from Science and Health. Spirit, God, gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. Notice how all of these instruct us that as we acknowledge God's sufficiency within us, that God will perform through us whatever is required under the circumstance. God loves you. He provides all that you need and will ever need and gives it to us freely. It's the ego that sold us a lie that we are separate from our God, at the mercy of the world and its stories of lack, limitation, stress, sickness, and death. If you believe the lies, you will continue to suffer because your beliefs govern your experience. If you instead acknowledge what the Bible tells us and cling to its testimony, even in the face of all the false evidence around you, you will experience all the promises that the Bible sets forth to those that believe on him. This can seem like a tall order sometimes because everything we rely upon to deliver intelligence to us supports the dream of separation. Jesus came and showed those who believed on him the absolute unreality of sin, sickness, and death. His was a short ministry, and he knew that to overcome this world, we would need help. God gave us this incredible divine comforter, Holy Ghost, or Spirit of Truth, that lives inside of us. This ever-present help is available to us as we call on it, ask for guidance and answers. It will show you the truth. It will help you when you feel you cannot do something or don't know how. It will illumine your thought and give you those wonderful aha moments of clarity that shift your perception from the unreal to the real. It guides us into all truth and our freedom from erroneous belief. I'm confident that each listener has had those moments where they or someone they love has been saved from harm or danger, or has had demonstrations of supply when they turn to God when things look really bleak. Each one of these are proofs of God's care. Every single testimony that you hear or personally experience is the evidence of the unreality of evil and the all power of God, who is love. I encourage you to write these down because the next time sin or suffering tempts you, you can declare your exemption from man-made laws. And when the ego starts in on you, you can go to your journal and recall all the times that God's laws conquered the world's so-called rules. When you have more belief and faith on the side of God good, your entire experience will be governed harmoniously. And if the ego rages back, you have an ally, a best friend that is all-powerful and will encompass round about you and save you as you call out to it. I want to close by sharing with you a part of an article that has profoundly affected my life and those of others that I know personally. I read this article every day for a couple of weeks, really studying it during a time where I had no job, My car had a couple hundred thousand miles on it and was dying. I was a single mom, and I was battling serious relationship issues. I was on my face. After working with this article, a neighbor of mine, whom I rarely had contact with, came to me with a job posting she'd seen online, which turned out to be the best lawyering job I'd ever had, that gave me a company car and allowed me to support my daughter, and I grew in confidence that changed the way I viewed my relationships. I got to tell you, I was impressed. The article is entitled God's Law of Adjustment and was written by a man named Adam H. Dickey. He was the personal secretary to Mary Baker Eddy for many years. I'll only share a brief portion of this, but if you're interested, just Google the title and you should be able to find it. It reads, "The most satisfying and comforting sense of peace and joy always follows the willingness on our part to allow God to control every situation for us through His law of adjustment. When we understand that infinite mind is the ruler of the universe, that every idea of God is forever in its proper place, that no condition or circumstance can arise whereby a mistake can find lodgment in God's plan, then we have the complete assurance that God is capable of adjusting everything as it should be. The fact is that all things are already in their rightful place, that no interference or lack of adjustment can really occur. It is only to the unenlightened human sense that there can be any such thing as discord. God's universe is always in perfect adjustment, and all His ideas work together forever in perfect harmony. When we are willing to give up our frightened and uncertain sense of things and let the divine mind govern, then and then only shall we behold that all things work together for good to them that love God. The discord which seems to be apparent is only what mortal mind believes, whether it be sickness, discomfort, annoyance, or trouble of any kind. When we are willing to relinquish our present views, even though we may believe we are in the right and another in the wrong, we shall not suffer by laying down our human opinions, but rather find that the law of God is ready and active in the right adjustment of everything involved. It may sometimes seem hard when we feel that we are oppressed or imposed upon to stop resisting. But if our faith in the power of truth to adjust all things is sufficient, we should be glad of the opportunity to relinquish our claims and place our trust in infinite wisdom, which will adjust everything according to its own unerring law. There is no such thing as failure in the divine mind. God is never defeated, and those who stand with Him will always receive the benefits of a victory over error." So as we call on God, ask Him to show us the truth, and then leave the situation in His capable hands. We will be lifted out of the seeming problem. This divine comforter will show us what to do, how to go, what to say. If we need to do nothing, we will feel a sense of peace and calm and be led to simply be still and know that He is God. I just want you all to know that there is a power and presence ready and waiting for your invitation to take over whatever seems to be the problem, to heal it with a light and understanding of the truth of your being, and that you are worthy to ask, that He loves you, and that is precisely why we have this awesome advocate, the Divine Comforter. Much love to all of you. Talk to you next Friday.
Soul Sister Radio.
Now a message from our sponsor, EducateEtiquette.com. Have you ever been at a table with a group of people and there is one person being rude on their cell phone? Have you mentioned it to that person and they still do it as if they just don't care as much for those around them in the flesh as they do for their own personal thread on Facebook? It's even worse when you're around our older generation who really have a hard time understanding how people can form relationships this way. There is wisdom in their thinking, so please don't be rude. Put it away in respect, yourself most of all. Thank you for joining us on Soul Sista Enterprise, and please visit us at www.educateetiquette.com.
Hello,
Soul
everyone.
Soul Sista Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston and Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
He says I am a loser.
Worthless. Unattractive.
Stupid.
Crazy.
Selfish.
Broken.
Ungrateful.
Damaged.
Frigid.
Unsupportive.
A bad wife.
A bad mother.
A bad daughter.
Nothing without him.
You don't have to let your partner's voice tell you who you are. If you are being abused, you can get help.
Call 1-800-799-SAFE or go to thehotline.org.
Let your voice be heard.
Hello, Soul Sista listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sista Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sista advertiser. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sista Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sista Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my Soul Sista.
Hello, everyone. It's Patricia Winskunis, your host for Coffee Talk with Patricia, and I welcome you to today's show, and I hope you're all grabbing your cup of hot coffee and sitting back and relaxing to enjoy the next hour of our show today. And as you know, every week we try to cover several topics and several words of discussion in life, in careers, community, love, faith, and self. We've had some amazing guests in the past, and we're looking forward to bringing on even more guests. I hope you'll definitely take the time to thank our sponsors and also to join us on Coffee Talk with Patricia on Facebook. Share what's happening in your life, in your career, your community, in your love life, and in your faith. And most importantly, what's happening with you? Do you take time for reflection, for prayer, and for yourself? We're going to go ahead and start today's show with a prayer. Lord, teach me to be patient with life, with people, and with myself. I sometimes try to hurry things along too much, and I push for answers before the time is right. Teach me to trust your sense of timing rather than my own, and to surrender my will to your greater and wiser plan. Help me let life unfold slowly. Life, the small rosebud whose petals unravel bit by bit, and remind me that in hurrying the bloom along, I destroy the bud and much of the beauty therein. Instead, let me wait for all to unfold in its own time. Each moment and state of growth contains a loveliness. Teach me to slow down enough to appreciate life and all it holds. Amen. So welcome, everyone, and as you know, I always enjoy starting with a prayer and reflection, and hopefully our special guest has joined us today. Are you on the phone?
Not just yet. I'll let you know as soon as it comes on, Patricia.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Maria, and we have to thank Maria for
all that she does and for producing the show and allowing us to have this opportunity to be able to have the show to share each and every week with all of you. And again, you know, we started with the prayer and we really talked about prayer and reflection in life. And one of the things that we're called attention to is patience. Do you have patience? And what does patience represent and look like in your own life? You know, and it, again, I look at these things in each and everything that I do because I think it opens up things. And I think that when we learn our balances and our boundaries and we're able to separate things, do you take the time to know your balance, your boundaries in each and everything that we talk about every week? Do you have patience in your own life and in your own self for your hope, for your healing, for your reflection? Do you have patience in your career? What does that look like in your career each and every day to have patience? Sit on it. Take a moment to just reflect and think about that. And then in your community, do you have patience for other people and other individuals and giving back, or are you always hurrying constantly? So take time for your community. Find something to give back and to enjoy each and every day. Or you don't have to take time for your community every day, but maybe once a month, maybe once every 6 months. Or you could do it daily, just depending on what that is in your time frame. And in your love life, in your relationship, do you have patience or do you get wrapped up in so many different things that you lose patience? You maybe not have patience for your partner, or in your relationships, you might not even have patience for yourself. So it's something to really think about when you're balancing, when you're having boundaries, and you're having patience. And what about faith? Do you have patience with your faith? That's a good question. That's really something to think about and to again, sit on, because when we take the time to think about faith in our lives, what does that reflect? And take time to have patience. Again, making time for yourself. And the quick question and thought process of having patience for you. Do you have patience? Something to really seriously think about. So let me go ahead and see. I think, Randy, are you on?
I am.
Well, hello, Randy. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you very much for joining Coffee Talk with Patricia. We just started the show, and we always start our show with a prayer, which we talked about, and we're also talking about patience today. And we are also talking about life, career, community, love, faith, and self. So our special guest today is Randy Burba. And instead of me introducing him as a dear friend and a supporter and someone that I am honored and privileged to work with, I wanted to go ahead and, Randy, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who is Randy?
Well, my name's Randy Burba, as you've told everyone, and I'm 46 years old, 46 years young, however you want to put it. I've been married, it'll be 17 years in November, and I have two beautiful daughters, and, you know, I just believe in a lot of the things that you and I have talked about in the past. I believe in making time for yourself, I believe in life as a balance, and I believe in, you know, you have to try to do good while you're here on this earth, and you have to try to make people's lives better and impact people in the positive way that you come across, and that starts at home. You know, it starts, if you're a boss, it starts at work, and it starts with you. Your employees are just as much as your customers, if not more than your customers, depending on what you're doing. And your family is, you know, needs to come first, and you need to make time to kind of balance all of that. And I think that's the challenge that I face on a daily basis. And I'm assuming that everyone faces that same challenge. I enjoy doing things with my family, you know, spending time at home. I enjoy sports. I enjoy watching ice hockey. I'm a big Kings fan, and my daughter played hockey on an all-girls team for a couple of years. I enjoy football, and I just enjoy being social and talking to people.
And you're very good at it, so thank you very much. So, well, let me first say congratulations on your marriage, because I do have the honor of knowing your wife as well, and she is an amazing woman as well, very giving and very caring. And so to see you both together, it's definitely an honor to know both of you. And then to see both of your daughters and have met them, what amazing young girls you are raising. So kudos and congratulations to you and your wife for your marriage and your family and raising two amazing daughters.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that very much. And it's no easy task, and sometimes I just feel like it's really all just being blessed, because I don't know where the manual is or the rule book, other than, you know, relying on your faith and asking for intercession and asking for help when you can, because there's so many pitfalls in society today, and so many, you know, it's amazing how you have two kids and you treat them exactly the same, but they all have their own, you know, each have their individual personality, and I do feel blessed that they're, you know, both well-behaved and good students and haven't gotten any major trouble, and hopefully that will continue. And we just try to do the right thing, make the right decisions, and, again, let faith and good sense kind of be the guide, if you will.
And, you know, I love the fact that, you know, I've had several of my guy friends on the show and have talked to them, and, you know, most of my friends all walk in their faith, and to, you know, women, it's easy for us, I guess, to stand in our shoes and share and walk in our faith and, you know, share our perfections and imperfections. But, you know, to hear men, and you are one of them that stand in your own, you know, 2 feet, and you carry yourself and without, you know, perfections, but with your perfections also, and you walk in that, and I applaud you for that, because, you know, there's a lot of men that don't, but then again, I know there's a lot of men out there that do, and I think that is such a privilege and an honor, and someone to share their faith and not be afraid in the times that we're living in today. So many people question when you're so out there with your faith. So thank you for sharing your faith, and, you know, that you walk in that, because that means a lot.
Well, it's a journey for all of us, and me included. I mean, 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been as overt or outward about some of that or some of those beliefs, because worried of perceptions of what people might think or how people might take it. But I think as we mature and we look at what's happening around us, and we kind of, you know, ask for help and revisit and rechannel that faith and realize that a lot of miracles happen in our life every day, you know, with my family and my children, and I just feel blessed with a lot of things that have happened. And, you know, I think it's important that we're leaders any chance we get in anything we do. And if I don't stand up and say, you know, there's reasons for this and people should walk in their faith and people should try to live a kind of a spiritual balanced life, if I don't profess that or talk about it, then who's going to? Or it's just one, you know, one additional piece where I might make a difference in somebody's lives, which, again, I think that's our calling. I mean, we're here for a reason, and I think as we all get older and start challenging some of those things or looking at, you know, you spend the first 10, 20 years of your life trying to figure out what you want to do and who you are, and it takes some of us a lot longer to figure that out than others. I sure wish I would have been where I am now 10 years ago in that comfort level, because I'd probably be much further ahead now and probably could have impacted a lot more people.
That's right.
But I think we all, you know, everybody grows in their own time frame, and we're all different. And some people, we all learn in different ways. You know, what I say may be helpful to some may not reach others. And then other people that attack it in a completely different way may reach some that I don't reach. So I think the more of us that talk about it and talk about us as being human and having our imperfections and just trying to be perfect as we can, but knowing that we will never be, I think that's important, because once people realize that it's okay to not be perfect, but that you should try, it puts you in a healthier place, I think.
I so agree. And I think that one of the things that I think is so powerful within faith itself is the fact that, you know, we strive to be perfect, but we're not, in a sense. But to God, we are perfect. And I think many of us, and I'm not saying everybody, but I know many, many of us, we try to seek for approval and acceptance, especially a lot of our youth today, seek that acceptance and approval from outside sources. But, you know, one of my dear friends pointed out to me that the only person that I need validation from is God, and that I've already got that validation. And so when we seek it from outside sources, it doesn't make him happy because he's already validated us. So I think if we walk in faith and we are not afraid to share that, and we're not afraid to share our imperfections or things that we're struggling with, you know, I've been talking, you know, a lot lately about being open and honest with your within life, within your struggles, because there are friends out there that really do care and want to build you up and want to support you. So sometimes many people, men, children, you know, elderly, whoever, women, we think, well, if we share, and I, you know, I'm open book on Facebook all the time, and people are always telling me, you share too much, but you know, I think it opens up the doors. When I share too much of my life, it opens the doors for other people to be, oh, well, if she shared, maybe I can share too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, that comes to fruition in what you do in your professional life as well. I mean, the association, the organizations, the nonprofits that you're in charge of, I mean, obviously sharing and sharing your story and everything clearly makes it easier for people to open up. And there's no reason to believe that doesn't carry over in a spiritual life sense too, or carry over in, hey, if I'm an open book about other parts of my life or imperfections or my spirituality, it may very well open up doors for other people to share and open up. Of course, there's evil doers in the world, and there is evil. I don't believe that there's not. I mean, so you're right. I mean, when you try to please others, you may very well come across a good person who's doing things for the right reasons, and you're trying to please them, and everything will work out fine. But in many cases, the person, you know, has some, you know, very evil tendencies, or is a lost soul themselves, and it leads to, you know, bad behaviors and bad things. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us to share the positives and try to, again, like I said, help as many people as you can. And you know, one of my struggles personally is I have a very short, and this is one of my weaknesses, I have a very short tolerance, I guess, for people who won't accept help. So it's kind of like I see somebody that needs help and I want to help them, and I'll say, hey, look, you know, I see this as an issue and this could really be helpful and you probably need to do this. You're going down a wrong path, and they don't want to listen. And then I tell them one more time, and then I get short and I say, okay, well, I tried, I'm out of here. And you know, how much am I cutting people short? Am I not giving them enough chance? Am I not giving them opportunities? And there's a question that I question myself on all the time, because I even some of the things that, you know, I've seen you post about, you have to get rid of people in your lives that are bringing you down, or people that are, you know, where's that fine line of getting rid of them and basically giving up on them, and the fine line of trying to help them see the path? And I don't know, it's a fine line, I guess, and I find myself struggling with that sometimes on a case-by-case basis or with different individuals.
Yeah, and that is something that's, you know, I deal with that constantly and with family members, and I deal with it with friends. And, you know, it's easy for me to say, well, yes, take them out of your life if they're bringing you down. But I have to be honest, I might say it, but it's a struggle for me each and every day as well, because I read the Bible and I know that it says to never, ever give up on anybody. And, you know, we're not supposed to walk away. And it could be that one last chance that person has in their life. So, you know, I do think that is difficult, and I think that we should continue to try and to help other people, but there are some people that we can't help, and there are some people that don't want our help either.
Yep, I think you got to, you pray for some wisdom to recognize the difference.
Yes.
That's really what I find myself is, you know, I know some people, well, they just really clearly don't want my help. And then others, I feel like if I make two more efforts, I mean, maybe I can just reach this person. I know they're a good person. I know this, I know that. But, you know, when it starts bringing you down or affecting your mood, which then in turn affects others, is it causing more harm than good, you know? And that's kind of the thing sometimes you weigh, and then you question yourself, well, am I weighing this in the right vein? Am I using the right criteria to even weigh this? Am I weighing it in a spiritual way, or am I weighing it in... Life would be a whole lot easier if I didn't have to deal with this person. So I know, it's nothing. There's no easy answers, and I think, you know, what you're doing, talking about it and making people talk about things and having people open up about this stuff, again, and hopefully it's helpful, and I'm sure it would be helpful to people because, you know, deep down I think we're all the same. A lot of us struggle with the same things, and you're right. Some people are afraid to talk about it, but I think for every one of us that does talk about it and gets past that fear, because you realize that there's nothing to be afraid of because, you know, our God has our back.
Yeah, that's so true. Well,
Patricia?
Yes?
It's Maria. I would like to add something to that. As you have been a witness to my walk and my testimony and the people that have been around me in the past year that I've had to push. And I think you're right, both of you. I've been listening to you, and it is one of the hardest things to do. And I think what happens is it really strengthens our faith when we have to push somebody on the other side of your boundary for a while. However, because Romans 8:28, it says that those that are all for God are going to be for God no matter what. I mean, that's not what it says directly, but I'll get to the right scripture. But one of the things that I did when I pushed these two over to the other side was that I made sure that I was accountable for the friendship that I had with these two, and that I was connected to somebody else in their life, that if ever they need me, that I am right here and they could get a hold of me. And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I know that it's worked for me. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that that's a wonderful way to address it, because basically you are extending the olive branch, if you will, indefinitely, basically saying I'm pushing away these behaviors, or I have to distance myself, but I still want to help and offer to help, but until something changes or if and when you need help, I will always be here. If I understand kind of correctly the scenario you described, I think that is a very positive way to do it for ourselves as a healthy way to say I haven't turned my back completely. I am basically leaving an option or leaving an out for people to come and seek my help that I've been trying to offer forever and ever, but I have set some boundaries based on faith of what I will tolerate and what I won't tolerate, and I think that's a very healthy way to do it.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I definitely think that that's definite. You know, I mean, you have to handle every circumstance, every situation is different and unique in its own way, but I think that you have to, you know, have compassion and care and realizing, and there are some circumstances and situations that you can do whatever you possibly can within your reem, and you can't help somebody. There's certain people that no matter what you do, you know you can't. So you do your best, but you also make sure that your balance and boundaries and that your space is protected and that you're safe at all times as well, and your family, of course, I believe. So.
Well, and I think that, you know, I also believe that there's a plan for all of us, and I think that, you know, it's not a mistake or an accident of people that, A, come into our lives, but B, people that are granted different abilities or different specialties or different skills, because we all do have different strengths. We all have different things that help affect people in a positive way. And so if it's somebody that we have to distance ourselves from because we don't have that skill, there's probably a different plan for that person. And maybe part of our mission is to find someone else that can help that person or somehow get them the help they need. I mean, no different than dealing with your own family member. I mean, one of the truest things that I've ever read is no man can be a prophet in his own land. Boy, isn't that the truth. I experienced that in my married life, in my parenting life. I mean, I can tell my daughter, don't touch the stove, it's hot. They don't listen until they touch the stove. But if Patricia walked over and said, don't touch the stove, they'd come home and tell me about, hey, Patricia told us don't touch the stove. And I learned a lot today. And it's like I've been telling you that for 3 years. I mean, I've learned that a long time ago, and it's actually helped me because in this scenario, like, I realize there's certain important things, and Patricia and I have had this conversation that where she has already made an impact on my girls because telling them things from her experience and her perspective, not being the prophet in her own land, it made an immediate and significant impact in the way they look at things, which was very, very helpful to me. So obviously I believe that person was put here, Patricia was put here for a reason. I met her for a reason. Things happened for a reason. Even though we met 5 years ago just because of what I do professionally, and she was halfway with, you know, starting up Crime Survivors. And really, our interaction was dormant for 5 years. All of a sudden, I'm
having
challenges.
Did you say, was it really 5 years, or I think it was a lot longer than that?
Well,
but I don't remember.
It might be longer than that. I can't remember the first time. I'd have to go back. I can't tell you exactly, but yeah, maybe it's more like 7 years. It can't be more than eight because I've only been here eight. So
got it. Yeah,
so
I think it has been probably about seven. But
we're in the 5 to 7. So really, it was dormant. Not that
right.
I believed in what she was doing. I wanted to help. I wanted the university to do things, but, you know, it was dormant, and we didn't have a lot of interaction, and she was working on other aspects. And then she circled back around, and we had a meeting, and then I opened up to her a little bit and about my family and some different things because I had changed, and I'm in a different place. And, you know, like I said, everything happens for a reason. There's a reason that first interaction happened. There's a reason that she circled back around.
Some people just say I'm pretty persistent and a pain in the butt, but,
well,
you know,
that's probably true, but that's your special skill. See, we all have a special skill and talent.
So the person like me that sometimes I guess you can get people out of your life or you have to move on, and sometimes you never give up. And, you know, in obviously my career, I never give up, and I keep going. And I do believe that whether it was 5 years or 7 years or whatever that we were introduced, I do believe that God put us in each other's paths for a purpose and a reason. And
absolutely.
Then maybe it was dormant for a while, but now I've got the honor and privilege to be able to know your family and your wife and you and your daughters. And, you know, I'm in awe with your family and how you guys have welcomed me. And you know, there's no words that I could say how grateful I am to know you and have the utmost respect for you and your wife and your family and in what you do. So I think that persistence definitely has paid off, and I do think that there's more things to come, not only with growing our friendship, but growing our work relationships and being able to impact so many other people.
Well, I ditto. I feel exactly the same way, and I think, you know, it's time. The time was finally right. So I agree. Everything happens for a reason. Paths cross for a reason, and some of that's coming to fruition. You know, the fact that I was able to make an impact, and I take that as a blessing that I have the wisdom to know what I don't know, and I have the wisdom to ask for help, and in my position as a leader to know and admit to people that I have faults and that I don't know everything, because I think that just makes you more real, which I think in the end makes people want to follow you even more. Because they understand that you're empathetic and that we're all cut from the same cloth and we have the same concerns and we have the same fears and we, at the end of the day, we're all very similar.
Amen to that, and I love that. And I love that as a leader and as a man that you can say that and to speak about wisdom and to be able to say that, you know, you make mistakes and to learn from them and to move on from that. And, you know, I think that is so powerful. And if we could teach other leaders that as well. And, you know, I do think that, you know, when you are a leader I think you have many, many friends and many acquaintances that come into your life and your path, and many of them that will walk side by side with you. Some will walk in front of you and some will walk behind you. And there will still be some out there that will be jealous or envious or just are not the most, you know, highest respectful or into their faith or whatever and try to bring you down at times. But I do believe, and I've learned myself, that we must walk with the other leaders that have faith and respect and will treat you with dignity at no matter what.
Yeah, that's at the core of everything. I think if we don't treat each other with dignity and respect and understand that we all come from the same place and the same creator, we're all very similar, and that our mission, our mandate is to uplift each other and take care of each other where we can. Once we realize that that's our mandate, it paves the way for a lot of blessings and a lot of success. And I think you can have a lot of success without those things, but you can have it's worldly success, and it's things that are going to come crashing down. I mean, it's the same old story. I mean, if you talk to people that have worked 60 hours a week and trampled people and gotten to the top, and there's always something missing. There's always something missing in their heart. There's always something missing in their mind, and that's why I say it's got to be a balance, you know, because you can have everything in the world and be empty, and you can have nothing in the world and just be full of joy and happiness and contentment. And, you know, there's a lot of New Age thinking that, you know, happiness is a choice, and that's always been my mantra, and it is a choice, but it's a little more deep than that. It's not just I choose to be happy. It's if I choose to let in the blessings and the faith and the things that, you know, your faith and your spiritualness provides or that God provides for you, you can't help but be happy because it basically opens up your eyes to the blessings and the small things rather than having your eye on just the worldly things that just a lot of times lead you down the wrong path. I just think the balance is so important. And it's the hardest thing. It's absolutely hard. It's absolutely hard. And in my line of work and what I've been doing for 28 years, all I do is deal with people that take the easy path. You know, I want to have a lot of money, so I'll deal drugs. I want to have a lot of money, so I'll lie, cheat, and steal. I want to have, you know, the images that I see on MTV, and I want to have the quick fix. And it's the horrible, absolute wrong message, and it's the one that's pervasive, and that's what we're struggling against as parents, and to some extent, we're all guilty of it. I mean, as a kid, my mother offered me a free education. Oh, you go to school, you concentrate on school, I'll pay for it, no problem. And I was 17 years old, just graduated high school, got a little part-time job, and all my friends were going out every weekend spending tons of money, all driving new cars. I said, I want that. Now, I didn't lie, cheat, and steal to get it, but instead I went out and bought it and started running up credit. And all of a sudden, I had to work full-time because I had bills to pay. And then I couldn't go to school full-time. And then my mom said, well, you didn't follow through on our deal, so I'm not going to pay for school anymore. So now it took me 12 years to graduate, and I took the hard road because, you know, I didn't listen and take my mom's advice and do what was good for me. But what a heck of a lesson that she taught me, and I think that's missing a lot from nowadays. I mean, you know, parents nowadays are teaching their kids to take the easy route. So, I mean, it's starting to trickle down, and it seems to be pervasive. And I think we've got to let people know that there's just so many more important things.
Well, God bless your mom for teaching you that, and for being the hard mom to be able to teach you that lesson, because you've learned, and now you can teach your daughters that as well, and pass that on. And I think what people don't understand today is, and I will say this, and people, you know, judge me and criticize me and look at me silly, but, you know, I know what it's like to have money. When my business was doing very well, I never had to want for really anything. I could get whatever I wanted at when my business was doing well. And now I have no savings, and I have no money, and I'm not afraid to or ashamed to say that, but I have more today in my heart than I have ever had in my entire life. And that doesn't mean that I don't have days. I have very hard days and emotional days and sad days, but I have happy days, and I make the choice to work through those difficult moments. But I do believe that whenever I think, well, you know, could I build my business back up and I could go buy all these fancy purses or shoes or whatever, and I think, no, I want to give back to the community even more because That's where I feel the light in my life.
Absolutely. And again, I come back to that same word, but to me, it's the key word, and that's balance. You know, you do have to have money to sustain yourself. And even if you want to do good things, you have to have it to be able to do those things. You know, you want to give back to the community. Well, obviously, the more means you have, the more you can give back, because you can grow, again, your business. You can open up a foundation or an actual location for people to come and, you know, people that open up shelters and people that run nonprofits. And, you know, you have to have those resources to be able to do the things in our heart that we want to do. So, yes, it's definitely a balance. But, you know, I think that you have done the right things for the right reasons, and, you know, the blessings will be tenfold. I mean, you'll probably have more money than you know what to do with, and you'll give it all back. And that's what our mission is. So God bless you.
Absolutely. I keep saying that, although my friend keeps telling me, well, Patricia, you're not going to win the lottery because as soon as you win it, you're going to give it all away, and then you're going to be broke. And I said, yeah, but I sure will have fun helping people with all that money.
Well, that's exactly, you know, a lot of people take jobs in their life, and they say that, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I see people that are so happy and really live that lifestyle that they really never dread a day that they go to work, and they never even feel like they had a job because they really love what they're doing. And I think that does breed a lot of passion. And I think, you know, it's clear that you are very passionate and love what you're doing, and you probably don't feel most days like it's a job to actually help a survivor or do the things that you're really passionate about. I, on the other hand, struggle with that sometimes. There's days when I don't feel like coming to work, and I do feel like it's a job. So, I mean, I'm not afraid to say that. I tell my daughter sometimes now that I, you know, people used to say when you're young, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I sometimes answer that question or talk to people about it, and I say, I still don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure I'm doing what I love, and a lot of times I do feel like it's work, and some of it could be 28 years of, you know, dealing with the same kind of problems and issues, and maybe I need a fresh outlook or a fresh perspective. And I've actually considered, you know, a second career in maybe counseling or helping people, considering going back to school. And I think I shared this with you, Patricia, but, you know, going back and getting a counseling degree so I can help people in a different way, or I really like helping people, and I want to help them on a deeper level, I think, if I have the ability.
And I think you're very good at that, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a short break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Randy about career and what his passion and purpose in life is. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, y'all.
ForRadio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and/or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com. This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, I'm Becky Ryan, and you are here on Women on the Edge. We're so happy to have you on this gorgeous Friday, at least in Georgia. Happy Valentine's Day, and I am here with my awesome co-host and producer, Maria DiGiovanni. How are you? Are you there?
Good morning, good morning. It is a beautiful morning, and I know. Happy Valentine's Day. You can be my Valentine today.
Yes, excellent. Will you be mine?
I'll be yours because I'm nobody's Valentine. You know, this day sucks, okay?
Well, if you go on to our Facebook page, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan, I have positives for the couples. I have positives for the singles. I have hilarious love poems from children to children in school and children to their parents. So please go on over there. We'll probably discuss some of this. I was first going to tell you guys about this blizzard we just made it through.
Yeah,
700,000 went without power.
How many?
Here in just Georgia. In just Georgia, 700,000. And apparently the song, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, we outdid them. However, I have to commend Georgia Power. I would watch it, and we flickered, I don't know, maybe three or four times, and we were on the map, but in our counties, I went up to Alpharetta's, the farm. We have a horse farm up there, and we really only had some flickering. 700,000 people, most of them are like Augusta, Savannah, the south of Atlanta, which are older homes. Power lines are above. Trees hit them, and I believe that we had a couple thousand people here that were working the emergency on call. Obama had passed it saying, yeah, Georgia's going to be really devastated. But 91 counties were done, and tomorrow we're going to be in the 60s. Figure that one out. We were blizzard. We had inches and inches. We had sleet. We were basically on vacation. I just wish my mom had a jacuzzi and I could have pretended, you know, like this is a Valentine kind of hot tub. Jeff and I are into 1 year of marriage, so it could have been a lot of fun. But then we had the kids, the horses, my mom around, my sister, farm people around. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked, but it was still fun.
Well, I'm glad you guys are all safe and wonderful and it all worked out well, and are you getting at least warmer?
Well, it's heading up the coast. I think that Carolinas are expected 7 to 13 inches. They're at a standstill since yesterday.
Wow.
So they're getting it, and it's going to keep on creeping up. It is down as catastrophic. It is historical for Georgia and the southeast, as in storms. And the reason we ran to my mom's was when at 6 on Tuesday, the governor and the news people, WSB TV here in Atlanta, ended up saying, we just changed this. It's upgraded from catastrophic to biblical. And I went, what? And then he says, catastrophic is something expected. Biblical means it's not supposed to hit this region at all.
Okay.
We're going to be worse than the north. And I went, oh, sweetie, Jeff. Let's get out of here. If we're going to die, I'd rather be with the family. And
yeah, no,
she thought it was
right.
Overreacting.
Okay.
And we watched, because I live in an apartment complex in Dunwoody, and we watched as the power continued going in and out of Dunwoody the whole entire time. So we were quite happy. We actually had power and everything else. And this morning, I'm going to go back to Valentine's Day. I got up quite early. And you know how you said, you know, you're very single? Well, at least you're better than our neighbors.
Why?
Somewhere around 5:30 in the morning, and we live in a very nice complex. I mean, like, I don't hear my neighbors above, don't hear them below. We can hear some people sometimes walking or dogs barking in the hallway. I woke up to screaming and yelling. And
yeah.
I was thinking, how, you know, whoa, this is really quite loud. It came through our windows from, you know, outside. I thought, we found out that it's our neighbors. She was not too happy because apparently at 5:30 in the morning, she had gotten up, and this is through the yelling through the walls. Not that I purposely tried to intentionally listen to this, but you couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently she had gotten up and she made some special things and made breakfast. They're broken up. She not only kicked him out, there was, we could hear the slamming. And I just thought, wow, her expectations for Valentine's Day were blown.
Yeah.
I'd rather not have somebody than wake up to that.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
This morning, I went on, and on Women on the Edge, I actually posted some articles. There was actually a research study done in 2004 on the effects of Valentine's Day. By the end of today, 2.5 times more likely to break up.
Wow. On Valentine's Day?
Yes, and it's considered a high day for breakups.
Yeah.
Just before Christmas and at New Year's.
Yeah, before your birthday.
Halloween. But what?
That was before your birthday, too.
Oh, yeah.
Break up.
You know you have
guys
the love.
Break up. Yeah, guys break up with you before your birthday, Valentine's Day, right before Christmas, you know, whatever.
Well, I couldn't believe it because as long as we've lived here, we've not heard anything. We've on and off heard some dogs from the hallway. I could not believe. And the lady is very nice. I've seen her. I've never seen the man, but apparently what a weasel.
Yeah.
And apparently I can hear her going, I cooked you breakfast. I laid out this.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
And blah, blah, blah. And then you could hear a deep guy's voice, you know, kind of an answer back. And then you could hear things kind of moving back and forth.
Oh, gosh.
And then you could hear, but I don't have this. I don't have this. Nobody considers Valentine's special. That was what was going on in the hallway as she slammed the door.
it's the expectation, I think. And you know what? Unless you tell your guy exactly what to do, they're just a guy, okay? They're just a guy.
Well,
what did your husband do for you?
I have a joke for this. This is an adult joke. So, you know, cover your kids' ears. Anyway, I'll try to even still keep it clean. They had gone and said, if you want to get flowers from your honey, and I did not do this, but it might work.
Okay.
They said you should get a rose for every time you, let's just say, see a male member.
Okay.
For how many times do you want me to see your male member the following year? Get me a rose. Well, I've got 4 dozen roses. There's a lot of hope and expectation there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's funny. That's great. I love that.
Was it clean enough or not? I don't know. I apologize before everybody starts yelling. I think that I cleaned it up enough.
Yeah, you did. It's all good.
Tell the kiddos something else. I will say that Pope Francis has said on Twitter, get married. I do have that the link to the Time Magazine article. He had gone onto Twitter this morning and said, basically, young people, get married. Marriage leads to happiness. So I do have some positives. I also have some really funny poems, and apparently poems and how to write a poem, how to steal a poem, how to get her to love you more, let's just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a guy perspective to make sure that it wins for an evening of success. Poems, I just thought, wow. If there's anybody out there that needs to create a website or go on to Etsy and start making some cards, if you can guarantee these guys a lucky night, They're all about buying. So come up with a way for that. On the Ellen show, Ellen DeGeneres, have you seen it? No, I don't think you do, because you don't have the cable.
I have TV.
But, yeah, well, this one is really cute. I did put a link up about the articles from the kids. And some of them are like, Mom and Dad, for a Valentine's card, you are so lucky to be alive.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Here's another one. Dear Mom and Dad, I love you so much. I could not ever in my life ask for another mother and dad. Thanks for the candy. Now, does this mean you love me the most? Love, Tyler. I just think that it's so cute. So you're going to have to go in there if you want some love in your heart, even if you're not with somebody. But remember your pets. And yeah. I did go in and try to find the one article from last week that you and I have been talking about where it said, listen, your pets love you the most. They're always there. If you don't have somebody, get a pet.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. There's a lot at the Humane Society. If you have a pet, love them even more. They're probably guaranteed to be there the entire relationship.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I swear the greatest relationship I ever had was with my golden retriever.
Oh, I love goldens.
Oh, she was solid. It was amazing. I loved her so much, and she really got me through, and it's true. If you are alone and you don't want to be alone, the greatest gift you can give yourself is the love of an unconditional love of an animal. Okay? It really makes you stop thinking about yourself, too. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't have an animal.
And you know how they say, you know, look into your past, or it's not like the good old days. Look into your past. The animals have usually been there.
Yep.
All the way through, good, bad, and indifferent. They forgive. They can't wait to see you.
I know.
Well, maybe not so fish or the reptiles, but then you just have to unconditionally love them.
Yeah, no kidding. Or else they'll give you attitude.
I thought this is kind of fun. I ended up grabbing some fun facts for Valentine's Day that you might not have known.
Okay.
In the Middle Ages, when a young man gave a cloth to somebody,
handkerchief,
and she kept it, that was accepting the marriage proposal. It doesn't go any farther than that. I hope it's a wedding dress. I hope it's a sun gold. But a cloth.
Usually it was like a handkerchief.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was a handkerchief. And that's why, if you remember in the old days, the handkerchiefs would come like with their insignia on it.
Yes.
Okay. That's why, because back then, and they were hand sewed, you know, your emblem on that handkerchief. And so it wasn't just a piece of fabric, it was a part of their dowry, kind of, for a guy, you see? By giving them that fabric, it was their signature.
I'm just, like, thinking how many people might forge them, take them. I mean, there's some hot guys out there. You're like, oh, I'll be his maid. Take the handkerchief and then run on over to the local, you know, court, justice of the peace guy and say, hey, we're getting married. Go get him.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm sure it was much more honorable.
What, did you post that bottle open thing, or did I post it and you posted it, reposted it?
Can you say that again? I didn't hear you. You were fading.
The beer bottle opener on your page.
I just noticed that.
Yeah, oh, okay, then I posted it on there. I wasn't sure if you did it or I did it because I showed it. Isn't that the coolest thing? So you put a refrigerator magnet down, magnet up, okay? You put the beer bottle on top of the magnet. You take a quarter, hit the neck of the bottle, and pop, the top comes off.
It's something women on the edge need to know for survival.
You never know.
And
you
it's an awesome trick for your loved ones. Oh, that is so cool.
I know. I love your
And he just taps it.
Yeah, that's it. You just tap it. So what is it? What is it? What is it? So anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
Well, I haven't been able to hear it. I just noticed it. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, did you see it? It's so cool. You should tell your audience they have to go onto your page because this is so worth checking out. Okay.
It is. I even pinned it to the top so you can show for the women that are out there that want to really show their men that really like beer. This is it. For you men that really want a great party trick, do this.
I'm telling you, I'm not a drinker.
And for a great party trick for this weekend, if you're not doing anything for Valentine's, this is it.
No, it's so cool. And again, I'm not a drinker, but what a thing to do in front of a whole bunch of people that do drink, right?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And he's not
it.
A bad-looking guy in a white T-shirt, so for you women, it's not bad to post and reshare.
You know, I'm not dead, but it is Valentine's. I am ready to start dating full-time, though, I think. I think I'm there. That's the next show, Women on the Edge. We really do need to do a show about dating and what it's like.
I would love that.
Yeah, dating on the edge.
Seriously, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what to say, but I've gone through my ringer. Lucky I don't need penicillin, but they say you carry baggage in it. If that's the case, I had a lot of baggage. I would have flight restrictions if I was a plane. And if I really looked at my life, I really do think I should have invested in penicillin. Luckily, through the grace of God, I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
There's too many people I kissed, too many frogs. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. And let me tell you, when you really have a hunger for a relationship, you're the one with the rose-colored glasses. We need to remember, you know, are you fighting for the relationship? The oneness of a couple, or are you really fighting for this person that's coming into your life? Because if you have the rose-colored glasses on yourself, you're going to take them off one day, and when you've kissed them, they're not going to turn into a prince. They're going to turn into something like a warty toad or something, big, fat, and like stuck to you and alien-like.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful what we're looking for. We can start.
Yeah.
Going through how to even use, like, online, because that really is the number one trend. I think that L.A. has 1 out of 4 singles are currently online looking, you know, on one of the dating sites. So
yeah.
We have to look at that. And I do want to go – I had something right underneath the man with the beer bottle on our Facebook page. I really like this one quote I had found on unconditional love, and I found that there's a slew of them. There's one website dedicated to love quotes. Parents were the only ones obligated to love you. From the rest of the world, you have to earn it. So to the rest of the world, you have to earn it. I thought that was really kind of nice. Now, it really sucks if your parents feel like your parents didn't love you, but...
Yeah, no kidding,
that
right?
They're wrong.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
we
then,
have a lot
again,
of
it goes back to the second part. The rest of the world has to earn it.
Okay.
I thought that was kind of sweet, but, you know, it's really sad how many people are being brought up in broken homes.
Oh, gosh.
And feeling torn.
That's a whole nother topic in of itself. I mean, really, I think our kids, this generation of kids are suffering and hurting the most because... we screwed up as parents. I really think so. We have a whole generation of kids that are entitled. And why? Because all of us were so concerned that we didn't want to bring our kids up with anything bad. And most of us got divorced, which was bad. And then we have a whole generation of kids that are coming from broken homes. Really. We are living in a generation where there's just kids from broken homes raising kids in broken homes.
Well, there was a study, and people can go and use Google, that last year was the record for enrolled college students that were the highest in entitlement and narcissism.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And throughout the past, we've blamed Russia on their orphanages for not hugging and loving the kids that, you know, and many of the people you might have seen in the news over the past two decades, where they had adopted a child from Russia who had psychotic behaviors, very narcissistic, deadly. We even had a lady in Tennessee who sent back her child because they would not, like, annul the adoption. She tried to get him into foster care. They said, no, you're going to have to take care of him. But she was worried that he was going to kill the other child or the parent.
Right.
So she put him on a plane, sent him back. Russia was very curious. Laws were changed. But we blame it on how they were in the orphanage, not getting love, not one-on-one, not the bonding that children absolutely need. I believe last year we outdid the Russians in narcissistic, entitled, and sociopathic children. And they're not calling anti-behavioral, antisocial behavioral disorder. Holy cow. How could we, we should be able to compete with a Russian orphanage on giving a child attention.
You would think, right?
You would think.
We don't.
We do need to look at that one. I don't know if I'm qualified under any circumstance. I will definitely post things that come out there, but that one's way over my head, and I'm just praying for all the families and to heal the children of the United States and throughout the world. It's not how we were brought up. I mean, love is supposed to be something we have. I mean, you had mentioned earlier in Becky's show about, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself, and you were looking for something about love. And I was just thinking, the Bible is filled with love verses, so we know that we all long for love. Even though we're born, most likely, by ourselves, parent, you know, you get born for just a few minutes, but then you have family, and everything's about fitting in and connecting and finding that soulmate. I will just carefully use soulmate, but we are.
However, I think I talking about myself, there are some of us out there, and I'm going to just put it out there, that I think we're supposed to be alone. Do you feel that is true?
Yes.
Okay.
I think look at Mother Teresa. If she had a relationship, look at Paul.
Yeah.
If one of them had a relationship, there is no way they could have done all the things they did.
Exactly. It's true. And what I'm finding, because I have people criticize me all the time that I'm not out there. Why aren't you putting yourself out there? What's the matter with you? Okay. Nothing's the matter with me, okay? I'm just really happy with the guy I'm in the relationship with now, okay? And he just happens to be, you know, Joe on the back of a Harley, okay? So,
yeah.
When God outdoes the human race as far as a personal relationship, I think that's when you're called to just do what God tells you to do, and because I'm not alone, or I'm not lonely. So I want women out there that are listening, and that because I think there comes a time when we start to think, gosh, there's something wrong with us because we're not with somebody. But I do believe that there are some of us that are content and happy and fulfilled with the life that we're choosing to live. And when you're connected with your higher power, my savior is Jesus Christ, whoever yours is yours, but that's mine. But when you're content and you're sitting in that wisdom and that enlightenment, you're not searching outside of yourself for that Valentine. So you're not disappointed because you know you're going to always get what you want. So I want our audience, those that are alone today, to really understand that it's perfectly okay. If there is a peace that's passing all understanding when it comes to you being alone, then be okay with that. Don't worry about what other people are thinking or, you know, there's something wrong with you because you're choosing to be, you know, single instead of out there. You know, look, you did the opposite of what I did, Becky. And we're both at the same place. You're happy in love with a person, a man, physically in your life. I'm happy in love with a man spiritually in my life. So I just want the women out there to understand. Love truly does come from within.
There was a huge study, and I'd actually have to go back to it. It was through Canada and the United States on relationships. So for women that are listening to this, they said that from the moment a woman says that she definitely wants to get married, the average woman got married 8 years after that promise to herself. The average man says, I want to get married, is married within 18 months.
Yeah. I think that's
and
true.
They dug a little bit deeper, and they looked at the men, how many of the men, when they came to the conclusion that they wanted to get married, but were in a relationship, married the woman they were in a relationship with. It was so low. So if you're with a man who's saying, I'm not feeling like getting married, and we're talking that, I want to say that it was like 3 to 15% of them ended up marrying the woman that they woke up one day and said, hey, I think I'm going to get married. They usually dump them.
Yeah.
So that's really scary. They said there was nothing wrong with her, or they were already used to what the relationship was. They ended up putting their priorities together, and that person that was in their life was deemed a friend or a person of the moment. So they looked at doctors, and they found that the majority of doctors who got married pre-med and school and stuff dumped their wives with it before they finished their residency program.
Yep, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that sad? And these women are there supporting their husbands, and wow. Incredible.
And, yeah, it's kind of scary. So at the end of it, I go, it really is up to the man. And if you're looking for somebody, dump anyone who says they don't know, they're waiting for the right person to come along. No, there really is marriage-minded men. And one of the dating sites, date.com, came out and said, hey, listen, if you truly are into a relationship, ask the questions if they're into a relationship. If not, you're a bed buddy. You are not somebody that they're going to deem or put onto a higher platform. The majority of the men that did get married that were in the smaller percentage said that they felt forced or obligated. And those were the ones that were under 28. And they were in relationships for over 3 years. And they feared not at least having the relationship and what their status would change. All of them ended up divorcing. So you can't force somebody into it. You can't guilt someone into it. But a guy who's marriage-minded is marriage-minded.
Mm-hmm.
A woman who's marriage-minded, they said, the one thing that they noticed is that when they finally got closer to the 5-6 year mark, they had a whole bunch of restriction. Their dating life went down to a couple dates a year. And they said they were almost feeling or believing that they weren't going to find the person and that they weren't going to take anyone who didn't accept them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they sat down with those men, they were asking them questions to qualify if they wanted to get a dress on. And that was one of the things they said over and over. The women go and said, I now look at a date, the ones that were going to get married within a couple years. I look at a date if I want to go and buy a dress or an outfit and waste an hour and a half putting makeup on.
Yeah.
And if I feel that they're not worth it, I say no.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Hey, you've got 1 minute. So.
Well, love is in the air. It's a great weekend. If you're out in North Carolina or getting storm packs, stay safe. Don't go on the highways. It will pass. And it could probably be a very romantic weekend with Facebook, social media, your pets, or your loved ones. And enjoy it. Cook up something to make you feel special. Unconditional love starts with you first and the Lord. So we will see you next Monday. This is Becky Ryan with Women on the Edge, and Maria DiGiovanni will see you guys live from here, Soul Sister Radio. Have a great and safe weekend.
How exciting. We will see you, Becky, next week.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.